This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Lots of things happening around the world, but to add to this pandemic, now the deadliest mass shooting in Canada, in Nova Scotia, taking the lives of 18 to 19 people, and apparently there are even more victims. Allahu al-musta'an, may Allah help us. You would think for a moment that because we're in such a state, the entire world is on lockdown, and you know this pandemic continues to spread and take the lives of hundreds and thousands of people. And you know what's really, really interesting and even more frightening is that now the cases are coming closer to home. Maybe most of you, and I'm using my words very carefully, maybe most of you who are listening to this either know somebody personally that has the coronavirus, that had it, or they had passed away from it. And they could be literally like a close friend, a colleague, or maybe even somebody in your family. And that's where it's at. Now, you think that despite all of this, that we would all get that wake-up call and we would all, you know, rethink and create this renewed sense of appreciation and gratitude for each other and for life. But within all of these beautiful people around the world, there's always that one evil shaitan, that one evil devil that goes above and beyond to do the worst of the worst crimes and take the lives of these innocent people for nothing. And I just want to begin by saying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give patience and strength to the families of these victims. And insha'Allah ta'ala, I pray that Allah reunites you with your loved ones in a place and in a time that is pleasing to Him. Allahumma ameen. That's really the first thing. The second thing is, a lot of you ask me about Ramadan and Taraweeh and so on. Look, this is still a big debate. This is still a subject that scholars across the globe are talking about. For the most part, nobody has really issued an official fatwa from a large body or council whether you are allowed to follow the imam on the screen and do your taraweeh that way. Now, with that being said, there are a couple of things that you should be aware of, that you should keep in mind. Remember that Taraweeh is not a fard prayer, it is not a mustahab prayer, it's a nafil, meaning you can do it, you will get rewarded. You don't do it, inshallah, there is no punishment for it. But with that being said, also keep in mind that Prophet ﷺ did tell us that whoever stands up iman and wahtisaban with faith and with optimism, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ, then all of their sins will be forgiven for them. And Taraweeh carries that blessing and that honor. Now, having said all of that, remember that Taraweeh has several names. It's called Taraweeh, it's also called Tahajjud, it's also called Qiyamul Layl. So these are all the exact same thing. And what you can do this Ramadan, where our focus and our attention should be, is trying to pray alone or as a family. You know, just yesterday, a couple of us, we were talking and we were saying that, you know, over the years, the Taraweeh in particular, it's almost become like this ritual more so than anything else. Like, you get dressed, you go to the masjid, and a lot of people that I meet every single year are very proud and they pat themselves on the back that they have never missed a raka'ah of Taraweeh. They're not shy or afraid to admit that to anybody. And they still carry some of the worst characteristics in terms of, the worst qualities in terms of mannerisms, in terms of etiquettes. It's like the Taraweeh was nothing more than just a cardiovascular exercise for them. And they're really proud of that. You know, I get it. I'm not one to judge. No one can judge that. But I'm just saying that when you engross yourself in something, that kind of spiritual upliftment, that kind of exercise, and you do it every single day, just think about it. You pray Taraweeh every day for 30 days or 29 days, and whether you pray 8 or 20 raka'ats more of that or less of that, you're talking about hundreds of raka'ats that are all nawafil raka'ats, like they're just voluntary prayers that you're submitting to Allah. You can't go back and tweak it, you can't go back and change it or do anything to it. Okay, fine, so you submit that to Allah. but your character hasn't been refined. Your closeness and relationship with Allah hasn't gotten any stronger. Your knowledge of the deen, your knowledge of who Allah is, the one you've been bowing to and prostrating to that many times in 1 month, you don't really know him any better than you did prior to Ramadan. When you look at all of those areas and you factor those things in, you got to really understand just exactly what your focus is on here. Are you missing the relationship that you get from the actual Taraweeh experience? Or are you just missing the idea, the ritual of being able to leave the house, get dressed, go listen to surahs you don't know how to read, listen to the Quran you can't understand, make sure you get the numbers down and just go home and say, Alhamdulillah, yeah, that was good, let's do it again. So if you can bring some clarity to exactly where your concentration on, then guess what? You'll know the answer to this question. What am I going to do with Taraweeh comes? Or I don't know much Quran, I haven't memorized. How am I going to pray tahajjud? There is no such thing as a surah of tahajjud. There's no one specific surah, there's no amount of surahs. Tahajjud is called tahajjud, which comes from jahada or juhdun, which means something that's difficult. The hardship in tahajjud is not restricted to the amount of Quran you recite. But tahajjud is also when you pray, and the amount of raka'ats are infinite, they're endless, you can make it as much or as little as you want, that's hard to do. You're doing it in the middle of the night, that's hard to do. And then when it comes to the actual recitation, the ulama are unanimously agreed for ages that you can recite any surah that you want. It's sunnah, it's recommended that if you know some of the longer surahs, that you recite some of the longer surahs, because that's more of what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions did. But he himself sallallahu alayhi wasalam also educated us and told us that not everybody's going to know the Quran, not everybody's going to be a scholar of this deen, but we are all students of knowledge when it comes to this religion. And so with that being said, whatever Quran you know, just recite it. Even if you have to recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ every single raka'ah, then your standing might be a little shorter, but guess what? Make your ruku' longer. Make your sujood longer. Make your du'as longer. And so you can at least compensate from what you're losing in the recitation in other places that bring you close to Allah anyway. And remember, the closest position that we are in when it comes to being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the prayer is, of course, the sujood. What do we recite in sujood? Is there any Quran in sujood? No. And Allah says, you're closest to me there. So I think it's about really shifting our concentration, our priorities, where they need to be. And you'll find that when you do that, the whole experience of Ramadan won't be the same. It'll be 100 times better, insha'Allah ta'ala. So what I tell Muslims and I tell my students is, stop focusing on issues that you and I as average layman people can't resolve. These are ummah-wide issues. When it comes to the Jum'ah and virtual Jum'ah experience, when it comes to the Taraweeh and the same, just leave that for now. The scholars them are talking about it. I can assure you, I am part of councils, I am part of massive WhatsApp groups that involve shuyukh and imam and specialists from across the world. And I can tell you, these subjects are the priority. They are talking about it literally every single day. So, having said that, whatever they issue in terms of an official fatwa, you'll start to see that when large bodies do that, other large councils and bodies and masajid will follow along. But in the meantime, stop worrying about this stuff, man. Just focus on your relationship with Allah and you as an individual. Pretend that you're standing in front of Allah. You can't call on no council. You can't call on this fatwa or that. It's just you and Allah. Just focus on that. That's the first and most difficult lesson that all of us have to grapple with. So in order that we can get back to where we should be, which is just concentrate on the fast, concentrate on Ramadan, on the prayer, and do it to the best of your ability, insha'Allah ta'ala. I promise you guys, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you will not regret it. I personally believe that the essence, the sweetness, okay, the sweetness of worship is when it's done individually. That's where the real blessing, that's where the tears come out. That's where the concentration is at its fullest. You don't have to worry about somebody shoving you, somebody who smells, somebody who's taking too long. What's wrong with the imam? Why is his ruk'ah so long? When is he going to go down? You don't have to worry about none of those things anymore. You can just pray. Take your time. After two raka'at, you get a little tired. Go get something to eat. Go get something to drink. Take your time. You can make that resting period as long as you want. And you get right back into it. And if you're somebody like me, what I like to do, and I'm going to admit this, I mean, this, you know, it's unprecedented times, so we should probably share a little bit of some of our secrets to encourage each other. When it comes to me and how I pray my tarawih or my tahajjud and things like that, is I will recite a certain amount. I'm not going to tell you how much I do. I'm going to recite a certain amount every two rak'ats, like, I will have mentally where I want to stop and where I want to continue. But then sometimes when I get to a surah that's tricky for me, I will split that up and review the pages that I want to recite in those two raka'ats. And I'll try to recite them. And then I'll go back before I do the other two, before I continue with the tahajjud, I will review those two, three, or nine, 10 pages, whatever I want to recite. I'll review it once, close the Qur'an, and get back into the next two raka'at so it's fresh in my memory, and that's how I keep myself going. I know what probably some of you might be thinking, can I hold the Qur'an then and recite from it as I'm reading tahajjud? 100% yes, you can. Recite the whole Qur'an in two raka'at if you want, whatever you want to do, but absolutely. Remember, when it comes to nafil prayers, the rules are a little bit different. They're a little bit loosened in terms of some of the things that you're allowed to do in nafil prayers that you wouldn't be allowed to do in fardh prayers. Okay, guys? So just keep that in mind. Make this religion easy for yourself, man, and keep the experience individually as strong as possible. For every individual that increases and uplifts themselves, we become stronger as a jama'ah, as a community. And when the community is strong, the entire ummah is strong. So we're in a golden opportunity, inshallah, to work in ourselves and our families so that our communities and our ummah will become that much better, inshallah ta'ala. I think that's all that I want to say for now. Jazakallahu khairan, and thank you all for listening. And I guess I will talk to you again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.